All right, let's go ahead and open our Bibles tonight. And how wonderful. We're launching into the In Christ in the Philippian letter. And what a sweet time God has graced us with in this such a precious time visiting with a sister today and thanking the Lord. You know, just taking all the line upon line and line upon line and precept upon precept and precept upon precept continues to bring all of this together. And that's the word of His grace that builds us up. And it just keeps building in us. Hallelujah. And it sets us apart. It gives us that inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And I thank God for this opportunity. But as we get into Philippians, I'll tell you, there's not a whole lot of in Christ in here. But I'll tell you what, the ones that are there are all powerful. And I'm thankful as God again in the perfection. And I share this with you. In studying the Word of God, and in studying the Word of God, you know the Holy Ghost is your teacher. The Holy Ghost is the one that takes the things of Christ and shows them unto you. He does. He reveals it completely. But in that, I stand amazed, and more all of the time, to where He takes us in our Bible studies, where He takes us in our sermons, and how He continues to weave that beautiful pattern. And when you arrive at Scripture, you're prepared. He's shown you the entrance of what that door is about, and then brings you in for more wonder. It's one of the, well, it is. It's the sweetest and greatest, most spectacular journey that we could ever have in our lives. And I thank the Lord to be able to experience that together with you. And I am thankful to God, as I told that sister, what a privilege it is to grow up in Christ together with you. Amen. But as we go into this precious letter that Paul writes to the Philippians, immediately we are met with such abundance in the excess of grace in verse 6. I love this, how he says it. Being confident. I love, as we've been reading recently, God's expectation for us to believe. He doesn't, you know, try to say, well, you should be or this. He tells you what you are. Amen? Isn't that marvelous as a mature son of God truly to receive that? And you thank Him. I am confident. Hallelujah. I am confident in the grace of God. And I thank God as He starts us out that way. Just like as we read and rejoiced last time we got together, we have. We have, we know, and here we have being confident of the very thing. The very thing. I love the very thing. We know what the very thing is. That He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a tremendous introduction. Paul and the truth in love doctrine always encouraging the saints to more truth in love. That gospel, praise God, to ones that the Lord has opened a heart to receive, Paul's gospel, it's always an encouraging. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I know I can't be separated from the love of Christ. Praise God, my life is about the one thing. My life is about, if by any means, to that out resurrection. Praise the Lord, this is what this absolute assurance of grace is brought out right from the beginning. See, these people, these Philippians, these ones that are the horses, the race horses, praise God. And let me tell you about them. They all have problems. They all have trials. They all have temptations. Just like any and everyone else. Just like us. Just like us. But see, the difference is by the grace of God, these precious ones, and by the grace of God, us in Christ, we love the truth. And the Lord is faithful to his word. And I thank the Lord that he sets us apart in that. And Paul commends them in love, because I'll tell you what, it came to Paul the same way that it has come for them. And let's go ahead and read verse 7. So after the Lord assures them through Paul that the very thing which, again, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. It's just the expectation of Christ in me, because I have you in my heart. And I love that Paul is saying that, but much more so, Paul's gospel has them in the heart. Paul's gospel, praise God, in Christ, has us in that heart. Hallelujah. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. And I am so thankful to be encouraged to hear the Spirit speak to me that I am of those that are partakers of Paul's grace. This is right to Jesse. Thank you, Jesus. I take it. I believe it. And if we want to win Christ, if we want to be in the bride, there is one way we must partake and share in the cherubim love. We must share Paul's grace. Amen. Praise the Lord and own it just like Paul did, that it's yours. And why is it that grace? Because it's all grace. Because all grace gives us all faith for the whole counsel of God to be worked in our life. Praise the Lord. Goes right back there to verse 6, being confident. Amen. Of the thing. I love that. Of this very thing. Get excited. You might have Mass on tonight, but it's okay. You can say hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah with a Mass. Nothing sweeter. Amen. Praise his name. Now, Philippians is known as the joy book of the Bible. Amen? And yes, it is. And the reason for the joy is because of the knowledge of his love. Love is the reason for the joy. Love is the reason for the joy. And let the word of God speak it to us in Christ tonight. Verse 9. Here we go. And this I pray. Paul again, starting out this letter. So he tells them of these things, you're partakers of my grace. Now here is the prayer. That your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. Or in all judgment. So there it is, in knowledge. And I'm going to take a little bit of liberty tonight in this. And I don't think it's a little bit of liberty, but it's just what it is. In knowledge, that's in Christ. And it is true. Think about this. Has he not been made to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption? Amen. Do we not grow in grace and in the knowledge of him? We know that he would that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of Christ, of him. Amen. So we know that if there is any knowledge, where is it? It's in him. It's in Christ. And I thank the Lord for this, because what he's telling us here is the full knowledge of him is where love abounds. Did you hear that? It's the truth. It is the truth. And I remember so sweetly, long, long time back, as the Lord really started to get a hold of my life. And I mean really started to get a hold of my life. And I'm talking in my 30s. Thank God for all of the courtship of the Lord. But I mean just so powerfully. And I'm talking about grace and mercy. I'm talking about beginning to really get a vision of the riches, where it was all at. The rejoicing, beginning to get that vision. All the things that the Holy Ghost had brought me to and shown me. Bridal truth, all the things that the Lord, by his grace, had me to teach so many young people about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And yet, sometimes I feel like, my goodness, I just walked into seeing it again. In a new wonder, in a new height, in a new depth, and all these things. But I remember so clearly, and I'll tell you what, Again, it's not the Apostle Paul. It's not Brother Hill. It wasn't Brother Copley. It wasn't Sister Bodie. And it wasn't John Hill. But I'll tell you what, Christ in him, so many sweet things. And one of the things he said to me, he said, son, the greatest thing is knowledge. And it hit me that, you know, I don't want to be puffed up in knowledge. But what he was going after was the knowledge of the love of God. And this is where this is. This is when the Lord began to really expound this, and espouse this, I should say, to my heart. To my heart. That the full knowledge of him is where love abounds more and more. We go back to it. What is God? God is love. God is love. Filled with all the fullness of God. What is that? Well, that'd be the fullness of God. God is love. Love one another and fulfill the law. The commandment now is to love one another. All the things about the love of Christ all throughout. And how marvelous this is, that this love, that it would abound more and more in knowledge. And here we go. That word abound, perisuo. Isn't that marvelous? I just sat there and said, Jesus, thank you. There we are, right back to the perisuo, that the love exceeding, abundant beyond, excessive and overflowing, abundant beyond that, infinite, and yet there's still leftovers. Once again, it's the remains after he fed the multitude. It just keeps pouring over and over. Praise be to God, it's love beyond. And brothers and sisters, that's the bridal message, and that's Paul's grace. And I thank God. Isn't that wonderful that we experience this in so many ways? But as we grow up and go on with the Lord, isn't it marvelous to watch the love of Christ love through you? Because you know it's not you. I'm talking about those times when you just almost want to rebel against that love. But that love's going to love. Well, I shouldn't forget. Well, it's going to be that way because love's reigning. And you just sit there, it's the out-of-body experience of, oh my, that's the love of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. It's not of my nature. My nature is to hate. My nature is to hold on to it. My nature is to just figure out that this has just been so wrong. But God, who is rich in mercy, in his great love wherewith he loved us. Bam, that starts to hit in you. And my goodness, it becomes to pouring out just like that truth and the rivers of water out the belly. And that is the truth and love of Jesus Christ. But see, that your love would abound yet more and more in full knowledge. And this knowledge, it's so sweet here. It means precise knowledge. It means exact knowledge. Do you think he's setting us up for chapter 3? That there's a mark for the prize. It's a target. It's exact for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is what this knowledge is. It's not just here and there. It's exact. It's a mark. It's precise. And I thank the Lord for this. And this is what we're drawn into. The knowledge of the full right that is ours. The knowledge of kings. The knowledge of fully reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ. See, if I don't grow up in that knowledge, we always go back to, as the Word of God says, well, I just remain as a servant in mentality in the kingdom of God, even though I've been born to know all of this, to fully rule and reign. Galatians 4:1 tells us you've been born a Lord of all. What does that mean to you? I take it for what the Lord says. I take it for what the Lord has revealed. I take it in the grace of God that is so immense, so exceeding, over the top, perisuo grace, where it's got remains after the exceeding, and you can never exhaust it. That it is exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. Every time I get to a point of what I think in understanding, praise God, it's like he bursts open another door. Son, here it is. Praise God. Don't be afraid to fly. Launch out, soar. You can. You can. Amen. I like living over there. Amen. Praise God. There's nothing here I want to live about. I want to live over there. But see, that's the exact and precise mark for the prize. And the evidence of those that take the grace is more and more abounding in perisuo love, love overflowing, love praise God for one another. I thank the Lord so much. Again, what a precious conversation to have in encouragement today with the precious sister to just again rejoicing. And our boast is in the Lord. We know that. But what he can do in us, that I mean, that the grace of God that is with us, we should boast in it and be thankful for it. But I thank God that overwhelmingly people that come to visit or come into this meeting, the one thing without exception, there's love in there. There's love in there. There's something different. I was remembering back early on, I think maybe just a year or so or two into pastoring, a man that I knew up north, and he had brought with him pastor, very, very large church up there, one of the mega churches. And I thank God they come. I know that this brother loves me. And he sat here. One thing he said, I never seen love like that in a place. He's seen a lot more people in a place. But what do you want to see? What do you want to have? What do you think God's looking for? You think that true worshiper is that one that's just oozing and overflowing with a parasuo love that just pours all forth? You know, I could be up here, no offense, I mean, I'm not saying anything, but I mean, I could be up here and have boards, and we could have, chalkboards and slides and all these things, and we can look at it this way and that way from every way, and we can analyze Greek and Hebrew, and we better be analyzing the heart of our lover, of our soul. It's all he wants you to look into. He wants you to look right into that heart. Now sometimes the Holy Ghost will sit us over here and say, now I want you to look at Sunkleronimus. I want you to look at Parasuo. And my eyes just light up and say, thank you, Jesus. Not because I know a word in the Greek, but because I saw into the very heart of the lover of my soul. And I just breathe him in. It's so marvelous. I'm about ready to explode here tonight. Praise God. But see, that's how love abounds. Is knowing that love. See, knowing the love of Christ changes you. You can try to change yourself because you know Jesus and he's just so wonderful. But that's not going to change you. That's going to defeat you. It's just going to mess with your self-righteousness. It's going to mess with your flesh. See, he's the one that changes the heart. And the heart is what changes. And that when your heart changes, you change. When the thoughts, the mind of Christ come in, you change. That's what changes you. It's not you. It's not you hearing and then doing. It's you to receive and him having his good pleasure in you. That's how it works. And I thank God he just does his work in us. I don't think about what Jesus is going to do or what he would do. I receive this by the power of the Holy Ghost and he just do. And it's a marvelous thing. I love that wonderful miracle of changing from glory to glory. How about you? Amen. But see, that's how love abounds, is knowledge. Think about it even in the natural. Love overflows as we grow in the full discernment and intimacy of the knowledge of love. We begin as babies and children loving our parents. And then we have friends that we love. And our love grows because there's more knowledge in the relationship that we can have. But then finally you get to the peak of it, of that love and discernment, and you find a spouse. that kind of a thing. But most importantly, we understand that's with Christ. But then in the scripture here of in Christ, in knowledge, it also says in all judgment. Notice that there in verse 9, in Christ in judgment. Now this isn't the judgment as so many want to think. There's a lot of Christians that love to judge. That's a sad thing. It really is. I want to love. Praise God, I understand. By the grace of God, let me tell you something. Christ will take care of those things. The Father chastens wonderfully, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But see, this isn't judgment as many want to think. This word judgment here is found one time in the scriptures. And this is the only place this word judgment in the Greek is found. And it means full perception and discernment. So think of that. He said knowledge, which was this exact and precise knowledge, and now it's going into the full perception and discernment. This is truly knowing not just the exact mark, but it's understanding the height, depth, length, and breadth of the love of Christ. You see what I'm saying? It understands the tree, the mark. It also steps back and sees everything with it. And how marvelous that God can bring us into this knowledge of it. And I rejoice because we understand that knowing that is knowing the good pleasure and the ecstasy of his heart and his will. And that full perception and discernment is the passion of the heart of the Lamb of God to have a wife. Amen. Amen it is. That's the discernment of this thing. That's to understand what the Lord wants. All the deep, intimate heart. I'm talking of a Shulamite. I'm talking of a Ruth about their husband. See, the bride is very brilliant. Very brilliant in the knowledge of the heart of her husband. Matter of fact, she has such brilliance, it's precise and exact, and she perceives all of it. A wife knows the desire of her husband. Oh, yes, she does. She knows what pleases him. And that becomes the all-consuming desire of her is to be the good pleasure of his will. But see, that's the beautiful thing about Jesus. He tells you that's who you are. And all he wants us to do is to come into knowledge and more knowledge of it. That love and passion, that ravished heart of what plan that God put before he ever set a star in heaven in Christ. My, oh my, the bride is fully aware of how to please him. And that becomes her desire as well. She's fully aware of the scriptures, praise God. She becomes a workman, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Rightfully dividing the scriptures, praise the Lord. Do you think that that is someone that can read into the love letters of their lover and understand what the lover is truly saying? She's not confused about his love letters. She reads it and knows exactly what he means. She reads it and she knows exactly what he wants. And matter of fact, she knows that it's her. Praise God that she is the focus of all of that desire, that she is that goodly pearl. See, she is like the Esther. She takes all the instruction from the keeper of the women and how to please the king. She's like a Ruth under Naomi, letting her counsel her to win the heart of Boaz. The bride is not an unlearned child. She's not. She's not unknowing in intimacy. She's not tossed to and fro and wondering and insecure about the heart of her lover. She doesn't wrestle with the truth. See, when you're insecure with the truth, you're insecure with the lover of your soul. Think of that. Really, think of that statement. By the grace of God, I don't want to be insecure with the Lord, do you? Are you confident that God loves you? I mean, are you really confident that the Lord loves you? Are you confident, knowing Paul's gospel, that the Lord is in love with you? That he's that lover that, I will tell you this, no matter how you hurt him, he just still loves you. We talked about that guy the other day. Remember him? That guy that just couldn't get over that girl and kept doing all the good stuff for her and all of that. And you finally came up to that poor fella and said, man, she don't like you. She's not into you. He didn't hear you. And he kept on loving. And I appreciate that sister. She finally heard him. He kept saying, let me love you. Let me love you. And not only was he the best, there was none that could compare. So, she knows the heart of her lover. She knows what pleases him. And praise be to God, she goes after it. And you know what that is? Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. She thanks him for that love. She thanks the Father that you're it. I'm that prize of his desire, praise God. And see, the readied wife is just that. She's ready. She's fully prepared. Once again, as we started this, this is in Christ. This is in knowledge. This is in that knowledge and all judgment. And what was it for? That your love may abound yet more and more. This is about love. This is about love. She's ready. She's prepared. She's aware. Nothing is strange to her. She has taken Paul's gospel. She has taken Paul's grace, and she's locked in, and she's ready in faith. She's anticipating to believe. No matter where he leads, by the grace of God, I'm going to believe. Hallelujah. And here's how ready she is. Verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. See, she's prepared, and she has testimony. Amen, she does, doesn't she? It's wonderful. She lives in love. Nothing rattles her. When you're in love, nothing rattles you. It doesn't matter. I love to see a bride coming into their wedding day. And I love to see those ones. And I understand we're just people in flesh, but I sure love seeing those ones. You know, something didn't go right. The hair didn't look good. It didn't even matter. I'm going to marry my husband. I might get a couple calls for that one, but that's okay. But see, she's full of fruit, isn't she? And that's, see how verse 11? She's filled with the fruits of righteousness. Oh, she's just full. She's fruitful. And so fruitful, so to understand the full overcomer life that Paul brings right forth in verse 12 and 13. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. I want you to remember this. Paul says later on that we would suffer in like manner as him. There's things that are very similar. I pray you know that. I believe we're going through some things in this regard at this time. But he said, this was for the furtherance of the gospel, praise God, so that my bonds where? In Christ. Are manifest where? In all the palace and in all other places. I'll tell you what, this Apostle Paul, man, I'll tell you, he's famous. And you know what was famous about him? His sufferings. The sufferings were noted. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thought? It's a beautiful truth is what it is. But see, brothers and sisters, this is one that's full of Romans 8:28, unmoved, locked in. And I like to say she's. This is the bride we're talking about, full of Paul's experience. And I'm talking about Paul's experience in the third heaven In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you're experienced in that you glory in your infirmities. You do, by the grace of God, you do. You begin to understand that without those infirmities, brothers and sisters, we would never understand the grace and mercy of God. And praise the Lord, it's in where the bonds in Christ, the prisoner that we become in Christ. Notice, Paul was not saying his bonds by the Philippian jailer. No, it wasn't bonds later on by the Roman jailer. It wasn't the chains that was that. My goodness, he was free indeed. The only prisoner Paul ever was, the only prisoner we ever are, by the grace of God, is Christ. We are the prisoner of his love. And once again, notice, that's what's so beautiful, where it was known, in the palace. Now, you can take that literal and say, oh, it was the palace there that was maybe at that city or Rome or these different ones. But brothers and sisters, you better know, this was the talk of the throne room of God. When you suffer for Christ's sake, let me tell you something. It's known in the palace. It's known, and not just there, where else? It said, and in all other places. I will make known to all that I have loved thee. Let me tell you something, the manifestation of the sons of God is just that. All creation groans for that. Praise God. Whoa, hallelujah, and we're so near. But this is the precious encouragement that the Lord gives us. And we praise God for it. And Paul praised God for it. Because look what happened. Look what happened is we know that love more and more prepared all those things that here we go to suffer to reign, amen, the bonds in Christ. But in that love knowledge, see, you know that the ungodly, they mean it for evil, don't they? But God meant it for good. See, the exact opposite happened. These ones tried to destroy the truth. They were going to try to stop the gospel of Christ, but it was a complete 180. Verse 18, what happened? And many of the brethren in the Lord waxed confident by my bonds, and much more bold to speak the word without fear. They were trying to shut it up, and God was going to use that to open the spigot. Praise the Lord. And notice here, it said many brethren in the Lord, not all, some get locked down in fear, and you know that. But many waxed confident, much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. We're talking about the testimony of the in Christ in precise knowledge, standing in the bridal truth. That stand always results in power. It always does. Once again, where is Paul writing this from? Who's with him? My, oh my, he didn't even have a limited attendance gathering. But I'll tell you what he did have. He had a gathering in the throne room of God. Hallelujah, he did. This is where joy comes forth from. Hallelujah. And there is growth in fervency that came out of this. Notice that. It didn't say growth in numbers, but people got fervent in the Lord. They got bold in preaching Christ Jesus. See, Paul's gospel, brothers and sisters, is about quality. It's not about quantity. This is the time of the seeking of the goodly pearl. Amen? That's so true. We know it. And I'll tell you what, the Word of God tells us there's a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. Matter of fact, that's pretty much 99% of the preaching today. It's a wood, hay, and stubble. Sensational. What you can do, the work, the flesh, the feeling, the belonging, all of these different things that'll reach out to try to get you to feel. But I'll tell you what, there's still a little remnant of gold, silver, and precious stone. And by the grace of God, I'd rather encourage one heart into the bridegroom's arm than 10,000 to wave a palm in heaven. And that's the truth. But you see, Paul's ongoing testimony here of this knowledge in Christ, this purpose of suffering to reign, the joint heirship to be glorified together with Christ, it goes on, and Paul testifies of it as you go down to verse 21. He says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." So praise God, Paul's saying here, you know what, I'm really torn about this because I really want to go into my bridegroom's arms. But you know what, I'm letting him choose. Oh, how wonderful. See, this love that was wrought in Paul, praise God. He's letting the Lord choose this. And the Lord encourages Paul's heart. I'm glad and willing to remain. And here's what God showed him, brothers and sisters. And I pray that we understand this. This wasn't because he was Paul. This is because of the grace of God that was with Paul. This is the same partakers of grace that's with you. And Paul's talking about remaining for who? Really, think about that. He's in a jail by himself. He's in a jail by himself writing this. And you can think that the Lord's never used you. But let me tell you something. The Lord uses you. When you have this love knowledge, it's alive beyond comprehension. And the Lord uses you. And you may feel like you're just the alone in a jail and nobody listens to you and there ain't anybody there to minister to. But I'm telling you, that all-powerful grace, that same grace that we are partakers of, it works effectually the exact same way. It never was Paul. It wasn't Paul. It was the grace of God that was with him. And every time someone tried to, again, and we know that it wasn't a person, it's God allowing the enemy to try to stroke our flesh, to get us to be puffed up. God's so faithful. Oh, but I got a thorn for you, Paul, that I ain't taking out. Amen. Oh my. I pray this encourage all of us tonight. But how wonderful here he says, and having this confidence, this is why. I have this confidence. Notice the confidence again. Remember the confidence we started with? I'm confident. I'm confident. How can you be confident in a jail? You shouldn't be confident in a jail, Paul. Praise the Lord. Don't matter. He was sitting in the presence of God. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant. Where? In Jesus Christ. For me, by my coming to you again. Oh, this is a marvelous conclusion here. The furtherance of joy in faith. Amen? The furtherance of joy in faith. Do you have joy in faith? Or do you just believe God and have no joy? Do you know there's people that believe the Word of God but don't have no joy? And I'm telling you, it's true. But if you want to have joy in the furtherance, in the joy of even being in a prison, let me tell you something. This is the gospel that does it. The faith in Paul's gospel. The faith in the bridal truth. The faith in the calling, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. By the grace of God, I thank the Lord. He's increased my faith more than ever for this. This time where so many people are distraught and in despair and wondering, is it all going to go away? All of the stuff that I've worked for. All of the things of this country and all the things it was founded on. And it would be sad in lots of different ways. But my faith is more alive and in tune. And joy, oh, the furtherance of joy. Because I see his appearing is so near. My faith's going to be made sight. Oh my, the joy in believing, the joy being more abundant. And notice here again, the more of the much, the more's. And why? In Christ, he says, in Christ for me, by my coming to you again. And see, this wasn't Paul's presence that was going to give him joy. It was the grace of God with Paul. My goodness, they were running away from Paul. They didn't want to be with him. At the end, he said, all in Asia had forsaken him. But I'll tell you what, this truth and love was chasing him. It never was Paul. It was the grace of God given to Paul. And that grace was the mystery of Christ in the church, the grace to preach the message of the exceeding riches of his grace, the full joy doctrine of the bride of Christ. And I love that Paul says, my coming again, that's parousia. And you'll see that every single time in the coming of the Lord. See, when Paul was mentioning coming, it wasn't him physically. It was the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. He'll perform it. Think how we began tonight. What did it say in verse 6? Perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When's that day begin? When the Lord calls his bride, the coming of the Lord, that meeting. This is all the intensity of this message, to be ready, to be ready. There's nothing else to be but ready. The coming, hallelujah, of the bridegroom, that's the life, praise God. That's Paul's life that brought the love knowledge. You know what the love knowledge is the coming of the bridegroom. That's this joy book of the Bible. That's why it's joy. It's the first love. It's the first love. That's the joy. That's the increasing and the furtherance of your joy and faith. That's what this brings. If there was ever a test in our lives, do we have more joy in believing God? Do we have more joy in believing God? Or is the joy beginning to fade? I'll tell you what, you need the coming again of Paul's gospel in your life. You need the coming again of that. Hallelujah. The readiness of the bridegroom that's brought through this message and only received by partaking in Paul's grace. That is Christ coming. Hallelujah. And the coming that this wonderful letter that Paul brought in this much the more love, the out resurrection, the mark for the prize. And praise be to God, the love knowledge. And if we get together next week, and I pray we'll be with him in the air. But if the Father so choose that there is more glory for him, then we will see it's the very mind in Christ that we can have that makes this faith alive, alive, fervently alive, and living in us. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand and let's be dismissed. Praise his name. Brother Duane, would you dismiss us? Jesus, thank you, God.